Welcome to Manager Tools. Measuring priorities through questions. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. How can I shift what my directs are working on? How can I measure what is happening? What simple ways are there to communicate priorities? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
If you're a manager, you need Roadmap. All licensees of Manager Tools have access to Roadmap, an app on your phone that guides you through every step of the Trinity rollout process, no more annoying emails, and allows you to monitor and measure your implementation of one-on-ones and feedback, and soon, coaching and delegation. Few clicks every day, everything you need to know about rolling out the Trinity and becoming a more effective manager.
Well, Mark, if you want to ensure that the right things are getting done, one of the easiest things to do is start asking the right questions.
Yeah. I'm surprised at the number of managers when I give them that guidance, that they're surprised. And I end up probably being, you know, too talkative, saying,
No.
Yeah. Do you understand that questions are a form of measurement? And as I think we talked about in our last cast about measuring, that people don't think of the odometer, the speedometer, the red light. You know, there are all kinds of things we have that are measures, the badges on your phone. And yet, when we talk to managers about measuring, there is this sort of dark side. And to be clear, I'm not pointing my finger at managers in the world. I understand the feeling. I can remember knowing that I would have to report on something or I would be asked about something versus not, which are, again, reporting is a form of measuring. And managers simply, all things being equal, don't want everything measured. And actually, the problem is in too many organizations, not enough is measured. But yeah, when I say measures and I say questions, people think, well, I ask questions all the time, that's fine. But they don't like the idea of measuring. And I'm thinking, and I try to tell them, no, I'm not suggesting you put together a report or all that sort of stuff, and have to fight through that a little bit. So I suspect that'll happen here. So we want to make 3 points with our guidance this week. First of all, we're going to talk about questions as a powerful measurement tool. It's the easiest one you have to deploy. It's a manager tool that is easy. You don't need all kinds of stuff to go with it. And there are two ways you can start getting more alignment with your team, reduce the use of time and resources on the wrong stuff and get more on the right stuff. And that is ask questions about your priorities, and we'll give you some examples. And then ask questions about deliverables relative to those priorities. And there's a way to do that as well.
Good. Now, until we talked about this, God, it sounds stupid right now, but I don't know if in my head I ever made the connection between questions and measurement. Certainly, I knew I was gathering information, right? And with a little discernment and discrimination, I could get more information about what was going on. But I don't know if I ever would have said, yeah, questions is a form of measurement.
Yeah, it is. I think in the digital world we live in today, measurement has taken on a level of precision, right? Oh, a measurement has to have, you know, meet some international standard.
Right. Well, at least it's got to be on a dashboard on a website. Otherwise, it's not measurement.
Yeah, which is funny because CEOs want dashboards and a lot of them don't use them. And then you think, you know, gosh, they ran their companies pretty successfully without that stuff because they would call people and ask them questions. But yeah, you don't need spreadsheets. You don't need websites. You don't need web tracking software, project management software, shared calendars to measure the right stuff. Those things are great. And for the record, guys, if you're fairly new to us, Manager Tools eats its own dog food. Okay. We never make a recommendation that we don't follow. We do one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, delegation. And we use spreadsheets, websites, web tracking software, project management software. In fact, we have
dashboards.
we have dashboards exactly on operational status and so on, and project status and so on. And I'm pleased to say that two of our spreadsheets that track important status for us logistically and planning wise are called Cypress and Spyglass after a couple of golf courses near me.
I didn't know. I thought Spyglass was named after the street I live on.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I thought. That. Now I get it. It's all about golf. All about you.
No, we'll change that. And there's one named after Cypress and one named after Spyglass. And I'll never mention again on air that I lived near Spyglass before you lived on Spyglass. Never.
Never again? Okay.
No, thanks. Never. So all those things are great. I love them. In fact, our spreadsheet, we've shared it with clients and they're all agog that you can do this without subscribing to some great software. You create some simple logic for when things have to be done for repetitive processes like supporting public conferences or supporting clients or whatever. And you put conditional formatting in the spreadsheet that changes from green to red on a given date. And it's all formulas. You don't have to do it manually. And so you can open the spreadsheet every morning and know what's red and what's amber as well. You can have amber and green and red, and you can have 20 other colors if you want it. And I love it. It is absolutely, we have over 2,500 tasks that need to be accomplished each year that are boring but necessary to support our public conference business. And by the way, those are just the ones we track. I can't keep up with that. Sarah Sintas, who runs our public conference business, can't keep up with that unless we have some sort of tool. She can't keep up with that easily. But how do we think managers assess the quantity and quality of work before all these wonderful modern tools? Well, their primary tool was asking questions. Now, folks, we're not saying the old ways are better, right? We don't want you to forego all this software. We love it. We use it. And we recommend you use both our guidance about questions as measurement tools and this stuff. And the new ways are better in many ways, and the old ways are not better qualitatively. But modern software-enabled tools to communicate and assess work and priorities are not better, so much better, to the exclusion of ways that are still available to us as managers and require no investment of time or money or upgrade or install. Now, if you're a low-level manager, you probably don't have the budget or the authority to install a new project tracking system or piece of software. And I always tell people when somebody comes in and says, well, we're going to do this, the first thing I think of is, yeah, and 2 years later, they're going to change it again. And the underlying behaviors won't change. And so you'll go red pretty quickly. Actually, no, you won't go red. Things will stay green, but it really won't be accurate. It's like companies changing their performance review system every couple of years, and everybody still hates the system because the system is not the form and blah, blah, blah. Look, in 2018, when we're recording this, there are certainly alternatives to large organizational purchases. I'm thinking about thousands of seat license to Microsoft Project or something like that. But even with taking an alternative, a small one, you have to take the time to assess it, probably purchase, train on it, create the website, you know, do use their bots and so on, get the tech team to set it up and then train on using it and communicate on it. It's a project, and it's one that you lose money, if you will, in the beginning because you have to spend and you don't get any value off of it. And the fact is, I'm talking to a lot of managers, there are a lot of us who simply won't or don't do it. You know, a web page with status would be great, but you'd have to invest your time and maybe political capital and other people's times and resources in order to make it happen. And so, you know, as we used to say, I think in the Army we used to say, Mike, it'll be a stubby pencil drill. We'll just sit down and figure it out.
Yeah, so all's lost. There's nothing we can do now.
It doesn't matter whether you use the new tools or not. We recommend them. But let's stop complaining about what we don't have in terms of time and budget and tools and do what we can with what we have where we are right now. And every manager, whether using that stuff or not, can ask questions. And here's a way to think about using questions as a measurement. We're going to use the manager tools middleman test to consider the effect of this new behavior, which we'll give you more details about. Suppose you've been working on 10 different things lately, usual stuff, working hard, making progress. You go into your meeting with your boss about something. He starts asking questions about a particular area. Really, you're feeling like he's drilling down a little bit. He's not drilling into you. He's just wanting more detail. He wants to know status. He wants to know why some stuff isn't done. What's the plan? He maybe even say, you know, I can help with that if you want and so on. Not attacking, just asking. Probably a little uncomfortable, but not unreasonable what your boss is doing. Completely reasonable tone. And maybe he's asking you about some areas you're a little surprised about. Of the 10 things you're working on, you would have thought he would ask about the things you consider to be his top one or two or three. But what he's asking about is number five in your mind. Well, ask yourself now, what are you going to think? What are you going to do differently after this meeting where your boss is asking all these questions about priority number five? I would argue most people, consciously, subconsciously, would probably make number five number four or number three.
Yeah. Questions are that powerful.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're going to respond that way to your boss, if you don't believe your directs would respond that way, then I would argue one of the possibilities there is you think you're smart and your directs are not smart enough to figure it out. And I got to tell you, you won't get very far in life that way.
You know, I'd share a short story. I had the exact experience. This was 10 or 15 years ago. And I was in a meeting with a bunch of senior managers and managers who worked for me. And I asked a simple question. I can't remember what the topic was about, but I asked a simple question about, well, why don't we do something like that? Or yeah, it was just a question, right? It wasn't about one of my priorities. It wasn't about anything important, but I simply asked a question. And they looked at each other and said, we don't know. And I said, oh, okay, good enough.
All right.
3 months later, they had spent, I don't know, close to $250,000 on this. It's like, oh my God. And I felt like a fool. I really did. Now, I was upset with them a little bit, but managers we're more powerful and more influential than we think.
Yeah, that's the whole J. Edgar Hoover story, who got a letter drafted and put on his desk for him to sign, and he drew lines down both either side around the margins. And for those of you who don't know, J. Edgar Hoover is a famous and in some ways infamous director of the FBI. This is not a political commentary about what's going on now in the United States. Hoover was imperious, and demanding and dictatorial and feared. And he drew two slashes down either side of the page and wrote at the top of the page, "Watch the borders," meaning margins. And the United States dispatched 5,000 FBI agents to Canada and Mexican borders. Right? There's the power to—
There you go.
The power of questions to measure. And if we use the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, if you're going to measure things, you're going to change them, right? The definition, in order to measure something, you have to change it.
Well, that's what we should have called this cast.
The Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
And relating to manager questions.
Something else I think that's important that maybe some of our young managers don't realize in terms of analyzing things, particularly if you've grown up in a time where you take texting and Snapchatting and so on for granted. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. It just changes something compared to, say, how Mike and I learned how to communicate with other people when we were perhaps your age or younger. When you think about these modern status and progress tools, and there's a big difference between status and work progress, they all have the effect of making communication more asynchronous. It's one of the things that people like about texting and about email is I don't have to be on the phone at the exact same time as them, which frees me up to shift that time to do something else. You, the direct, can communicate with your boss in two steps. One, when you post status on something, and one, when your boss reads your status, each of those times convenient for you as an individual. Your boss's time for reading it is not convenient for you to post it, and your time for posting it is not convenient for your boss. But each of you do what works for you. And that's true whether you're online or you're in email or Slack or you're in a program-specific push message or something. Asking questions has a bonus beyond the benefits of communicating in real time, because communicating in real time for some people, you say, well, that's a little harder. But here's the thing, questions provide a richer medium for communication. There's a notable difference in someone changing a status from red to green based on a post you make on a tracking website, and their verbal response and the look on their face when you ask them, when will it be done? And in fact, there's all kinds of evidence. This is well-regarded social science evidence that putting a comment on something on a website, I'll have this done by Friday, is a completely different level of commitment than saying to your boss, you'll have it on Friday. Verbal commitments to a source of power have a very high level of likelihood of indication that commitment will be honored, as opposed to email to a colleague or something like that. And their response may well lead to more questions. There's a big difference between somebody saying, yeah, sure, or yeah, sure. But you can't tell that when somebody's posting something, a short text message, delimited text message, or filling out a cell on a spreadsheet or in project management software, if they just type in working on this or something like that. Question your directs about status or work in process or the state of a project is a form of measurement, just like spreadsheets, just like project software is. Measure actually means to estimate or assess the extent, quality, value, or effect of something. That's what it means. I mean, that's all you're doing. You're measuring. There are a lot of really stupid sayings about management. None from us, by the way. But there are a couple of them that have rung true for me for the last 30 years. I rarely see them broken, and they're good basic underlying principles. One is managers expect what they inspect, meaning if you inspect it, your directs will learn that that's what you intend to pay attention to. And inspection is simply a form of questioning, along the lines of trust but verify, right? What gets measured gets managed. That's a classic one. If you're not measuring something, there's a general feeling among management theorists that if you're not measuring it, then you're probably not managing and it's not important to you. And those things are both closely related to a book I read 30 years ago that's still valid. It's called The Greatest Management Principle in the World. And the things that get measured are the things that get done.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Yeah. Now, when I said that to people before, they said, yeah, okay, great. And they don't realize that he wrote it before software and all this sort of stuff was going on, blah, 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 blah. And so they don't realize that measurement in that, you know, what gets measured or the things that get measured, the things that get done, could be as simple as questions. That questions are a classical form of measuring things and you don't need software to do it. And I think a lot of times when I tell people to read the book, they think, oh, I don't want to measure everything. Gosh, first A, they can watch me. And B, there's so much, you know, the old developer joke. What do you want me to do? You want me to do my work or you want me to report on my work? And as I've said before, the answer to that question is always yes. And the beauty of asking questions is we don't have to build something to measure something. We just have to ask.
There you go. There's all sorts of questions we can ask. So what's your guidance on the types of questions we might ask?
When I've had this conversation with somebody who was asking, I have, what's the word? I've gotten a look, an expression that suggests that this is the key point that I make. People sort of go, oh, I get it. You ask questions about your priorities, and you generally avoid questions about things that aren't your priorities.
Now, where were you 20 years ago?
because how many times have we said we didn't know this stuff? That's why we're doing manager tools, so other people will know it. Okay. So here's the point I'm going to make about this. When you show managers videotape of a one-on-one, you'll find them asking questions about everything. And so there's no metadata in the questions. And the best managers we know—
there may not be, but your directs think there is.
Yes, exactly. Everything's important. You got to get everything done, you know, even minor stuff in the minds of the direct. Yeah. It can't be everything. You can't ask about everything. You don't have time, right? Because all people would do is sit around and talk about work and not work. So it ought to be important things. And that's easy. Day to day, what's most important are the status of our most important priorities, which, by the way, should translate very nicely into results and then indirectly into retention.
Right. That implies that all managers actually have a list of their priorities and can articulate them.
I would say, yeah, many managers don't. You and I both know it. That maybe that's guidance for a different time, but if you don't know your priorities, folks, like you know the beginning of your own country's national anthem, an overly simple rule is, what are your boss's priorities, right? And if you don't know either one of those, lucky you, that's a dark joke. You get to make them up. But let's assume you know your priorities. You have a list of two or three or four or five. And for the record, probably usually more than five aren't priorities. It's a laundry list and you're spreading yourself too thin. And again, we can have larger conversations at some other time when we meet face-to-face about why that is so and how that works relative to the Pareto principle and all kinds of stuff. Okay. The first rule of asking questions regarding priorities is simple. Ask questions about your priorities and don't ask questions about things that are not your priorities. Just not that hard. If your direct is talking about something they're working on, but it's not one of your priorities, just say thanks for the update or well done or glad to hear it. On the other hand, if your direct is addressing one of your priorities, dig in with more questions. Should I be worried about him being late on three different critical tasks? What does next week look like in terms of op tempo? Where can I help? What's your plan to address this area which appears weak? What are you going to do to show Catherine appreciation for her hard work last week? Can I come to the next status meeting and listen in? Can I maybe make suggestions? The overly simple result in this situation is you have your direct spending more time thinking about, talking about, planning for, and accomplishing tasks related to your priorities. Think about that for a second. What is not good about having your direct spend more time thinking about, talking about, planning for, and accomplishing tasks related to your priorities? I'm sorry, that's a self-licking ice cream cone. Your directs will, sometimes consciously, sometimes not, change their behavior in the direction of your priorities. I mean, if they don't, in the next week, you're going to say, hey, I'd like to follow up on the couple of those questions I asked you. What's the status? Oh, I didn't do anything. Hey, where wasn't I clear? This is important to me. And you don't have to give feedback. It takes communication about your priorities, and you don't have to brief them formally with a slideshow and animation and color changes and different graphs and charts and different shapes and all that sort of stuff and dissolves and blah. It takes communication about your priorities in the form of targeted questions. You know, your directs get together. He's like, he's always asked me about X. That's funny. You know, I went in there to talk to him about four things. He drills on X. He drills on X. And somebody's going to say, well, cheers, mates. I think we just learned that X is the thing we got to lead with. Yeah, you think? Now, to be clear, when I have this conversation with people in the field, some people express surprise that their directs might be working on something different than what their manager, them, priorities are. Dudes, you need to get off the crack pipe on that one. You apply a custom version of the manager tools middleman rule. If you're doing it to your boss, it's being done to you, right? Since surely you're working on some things that aren't your boss's priority list. And by the way, it's normal. Don't be surprised your directs are too. Now, all I'm asking is don't act surprised because it makes you dumb twice.
Yeah, you will be surprised what your directs are working on. But yeah, don't be surprised there's something that they're working on that you don't know about. And yes. If you knew, you'd be like, what are you doing?
What?
Okay, that's the last time I'll ever do that on a podcast. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't think so. 15 years from now, you'll have forgotten that and do it again.
Oh my God. I'll probably listen to this like 10 years from now and go like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What was I thinking? I'd ask Paul to edit it out, but we'll just leave it in
just so
people know what kind of crazy man I am.
Yeah.
So ask questions about priorities. How about deliverables?
Yeah, look, you can also point people to your priorities by asking questions about deliverables related to those priorities.
By the way, I love these kind of questions. These are my favorite questions.
I wish I could get more people, and we've reached millions, but get more people to appreciate the difference between suggesting a task and assigning a deliverable. If you ask more questions about deliverables that affect your priorities, and then also ask less and sometimes no questions about deliverables not related to your priorities, you're going to add to the focus on your priorities. We've said, okay, questions are a simple form of measurement. If we ask lots of questions about activities not aligned with our priorities, we're measuring things that aren't important to us or less important, and we're going to get more activity in those areas. We're throwing away our two best resources, the time and attention of our people, on less valuable work. That reduces our productivity and that reduces effectiveness. And look, guys, heaven knows, we all do all kinds of things that over the course of a year, we look back on and say, not sure that was valuable. Well, let's not make that any worse by asking questions about things that in your gut, in your heart, you know, that's not really that valuable, but I want this person to feel like I care about them. You can care about them 1,000 other ways, but not this way. Not making them think that what they're working on that you don't think is all that valuable and what you've asked them to work on that your boss is holding you accountable for weekly. Don't send them a message that both of those things are of equal value to the organization or to you by asking questions equally about both because you think it's your job to ask questions. Don't do that. So when we ask questions about deliverables, we ought to be focusing on deliverables for priorities. If something's not important to you, why do you want to know who's going to do what by when? When a deliverable is discussed related to a project or a system or an effort that isn't a priority for you, you can say, keep me posted. Glad things are moving ahead. Happy to share ideas. Or sorry to hear it's been a struggle. Keep at it. We don't offer to help significantly because to help significantly outside of our priorities is to steal time away from any and all of our priorities. If your non-priorities fail, but your priorities win, the organization will benefit and you will succeed. I know some of you don't believe that. You think everything's a priority. But of course, according to the science of, I don't know what the science is, Mike. It's a social science and a mathematical science. But if everything is a priority, then nothing's a priority. If your non-priorities are tightly managed because you're paying attention to them, your priorities risk failure. And the organization suffers if we assume that the organization is smart enough to have the right priorities. And I know I've just given some of you a loophole to say, yeah, well, you know, I think the company's all wrong and I'm going to do the right thing and I'm going to win. Yeah. You're trying to drive a truck through a loophole. It probably won't happen. And when priorities are being discussed, ask about deliverables. Help people create deliverables and then make notes to check on those deliverables. Perhaps the three most important questions descend from the basic structure of deliverables, which is who does what by when. What has to be done? Or, you know, what's next? What's the next task? When will it be done? Or what's the deadline for that? And then who is going to do it, right? Who does what by when?
It's amazing the number of times you ask those three questions about a deliverable that's been agreed to, and you get stunned silence.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, let's talk about that.
Well, there's a whole science around naming the actual behavior, and people don't realize how vague and uncertain and misleading and full of opportunity to be gamed the standard task system is in projects. I mean, I look at project software, I say, these aren't tasks. And they say, yeah, they are. I said, no, you can't be 100% certain whether that thing, you know, it says talk to Bob.
Right.
What? Okay. Hey, by the way, I yelled at Bob across the
room. Or consider impacts of this.
Yeah, consider.
Well, boss, I considered it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And where's the report? Where's the discussion? Exactly. Where's the decision?
Yeah, well, it just says I have to consider it. Yeah.
Oh, is that what you wanted? Yeah. Yeah.
But look, there are more task and deliverable questions too. What's dependent upon that? What's the risk of missing that deadline? And of course, if you're a licensee, you can just print out the show notes and we have them all listed here. I hope for those of you who are driving who are not licensees, you're not trying to write this down. What help can I offer? Is there anything you want me to review? Is there a meeting I can attend to assist with guidance? Do you need me to communicate with anyone about this effort? Are there tasks I can accomplish for you? When do you need that done? Is there anything else I can review status-wise, stay up to date to help you with this? And again, we'll go back to the earlier point. After 2 to 3 to 4 meetings with 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 of your directs, where you ask these kinds of questions versus the passive oversight kind of questions we suggested for non-priorities, your team will start managing more assertively on your priorities. What is not good about that? They'll be proud of being able to tell you they made deadlines when they did, and they'll fear not getting it done. And so they'll work harder around your priorities. One other thing about questions, particularly around deliverables that I think are important, make sure that you're asking questions rather than making statements which are designed to elicit a response. This is a classic mistake of inexperienced managers. Managers actually do it at our conferences when we're training on feedback, and people say, instead of saying, hey, can you give feedback when you do X, here's what happens. Can you change that? Can you work on that? They say, I'd like you to work on that. And of course, when someone says, I'd like you to work on that, the director says, okay. But all they're agreeing to is that you would, they're agreeing to what you'd like, but they haven't made a commitment to change their behavior. And frankly, we understand the natural pull toward this. It's easier to not ask because you know when you ask a question that requires an answer like a date or a time or a number or a yes or a no or a person or whatever, then you've created a form of something that can be measured. And questions run the risk of an answer you don't want. When we ask yes, no questions, we could get a no. That's why high school kids still say things like, hey, I'd like to go to the prom with you. Not, will you go to the prom with me? It's just easier if we're not confident to make statements that suggest our intent but don't get clear answers. But we need clear answers. You know, the right way to ask, you know, people say I would like. The right way to ask a question like this is, would you review the presentation with Roberta and email it to me by 4 p.m. tomorrow? When a direct says yes, they're on the hook. Both they and us know who is responsible for doing what by when. But the I would like fallacy sounds like, I'd like it if you would ask Roberta about the status of the presentation. Okay. Stating what you'd like is different than asking to do someone to do something. If you say to me, I'd like to understand more about it, and I say, okay, all I'm saying is I'm okay with what you'd like. Again, not that I intend to do what you seem to be implying, but not willing to say. This is particularly well used by your directs who either don't get along with you or who are not doing well.
Yeah, or even if they intend to do it unconsciously, there is a level of priority associated with the I would like that immediately gets traded off. So the directs are not always actively working against you. It's just that they're prioritizing all the work you have. And I would like is they're going to trade that off against something where you said specifically what you want and when you want it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's in their head. Yeah. So ask questions, expect responses, be nice, by the way, and ask, would you please? There's nothing wrong with courtesy and civility and kindness, politeness, manners. When you get a response that isn't satisfactory, folks, dig. It's your job. Sure, you can hint and make suggestions and hope everything works out fine, but as the famous book says, hope is not a method.
That's awesome.
Okay, summarize. If you want to achieve your priorities, ask more questions about them than you do about less important work. Dig for more details when it's important by asking questions. Support passively that lower value work. And of course, things that are less priority are by definition lower value because that's the value judgment executive leaders and managers make. Ask about deliverables only for priorities, not for non-priorities. Your team will end up aligning around your priorities in terms of their behavior, even if you haven't communicated the priorities formally. Though, of course, we would recommend you do that too.
Excellent. Thanks, my friend. That's a great one.
Anytime, partner. That was fun.
Yeah, it was. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week.